he got hit by a striker during a training exercise, like hit by a striker on duty, and they fought him.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Yeah, so after I got injured, I was actually good, you know, for like a year. Because it was a short recovery, more or less. It was like, okay, cool. Like, you just banged your head or, you know, your body's there. And I don't know. I have a lot of pride. I'm like, it's fine. Like, whatever, right? Especially because I seen the other people that were injured. They were Marines. One of them lost partially part of his hand and everything else. Like, which I got to try to reconnect with these guys. I don't even know their names. Yeah. Like, I was just kind of the escort, more or less. Okay. Of, hey, this is who's all your POCs. And they were part of the detail to, like, help escort the vehicles. Because there was a lot of sensitive items and equipment.
And where were we all going? Things. And where was, like, the convoy going?
So this was in Iraq through the Trans-Arabian Network to go to one of our ports there. There's, like, 3 or 4 ports there.
Okay.
But in the end, you go through Iraq and then into Saudi Arabia. And then Saudi Arabia has those other ports there. Because we're trying to, yet again, ship everything out.
Okay.
And a lot of times those are units, equipment that they own back in the States. And then it's like a kind of a refresh of gear, right? But in this case, it was stuff that was pulled out of Iraq. I think that was like still equipment from like Bagram or something like that. At some point, had to reclass to recruiter because I couldn't really do my job effectively anymore. So there's like going through like a first med board period, and they're like, okay, well, you got to reclass or something, because I couldn't. I was having a lot of problems, like all of a sudden, all at once. And then I couldn't even do that shit. Like, I loved it because I could just go talk to people, whatever, but couldn't do like the admin stuff. Couldn't like look at the computer too long. Couldn't do a whole lot of things that they wanted me to do. And then things got a little worse, and then went down to Walter Reed, and then eventually, yet again, skating through some things. But, I was then admitted down there, and I was there for about 2 years. And during that time, like, it was 100% recovery. Like, all of a sudden, like, I declined to a point of, you know, they found a small, like, benign tumor in the middle of my brain. I have a QRE1 malformation or something in the back of my brain, which may or may not have been there. But they're assuming a lot of things because it's hard to tell with something that complicated. Mm-hmm. But then there's like a lot of brain scarring. So anything on your brain, which I think the one guy I was listening to, like, he had some brain cancer, right?
Yes.
Like, and he hit it right on the head. Yeah. Like, any type of swelling or anything in your brain that pushes cerebral fluid throughout your body, like it will 100% ruin your balance, make you dizzy, all this stuff. So it's like, it was to a point where, they eventually found like I was leaking like a spinal fluid or cerebral fluid or something like towards the middle of my back, like, down in my like lumbar area. So then pretty much like when I'm sitting, it's fine. But then when you get up, like, I guess those little pinholes, it's just kind of coming out, which then causes that, that regulation pressure change throughout your body, which it's unexplained symptoms. You're like, why is it like this? Like, this is weird. But, I went to a dizzy clinic down there and they found all this stuff out, and obviously they could probably talk about it better than me. I'm just here at this point. That's just all I say. But through the recovery and stuff, like, you know, and just minor surgeries, things like that, you know, but my cognitive function was like really, really bad. Like I had to kind of relearn how to talk in some ways, a walk, do a lot of OT, PT, whatever hell T's that are out there. I was
doing it all.
Yeah. But it felt like a nice senior program. Like I'd wake up, I would go down, check in with whoever, and then, all right, what's on your schedule today? And I'm like, I'm walking around a track, like
senior program,
but it was good because I found like, okay, I wasn't walking too well. You know, I was using a cane or a wheelchair or whatever. And, you know, and all of a sudden, like towards the end, I'm like, shit, man, I'm walking good now. You know what I mean? So, and that's really how they track a lot of progress, but they force you to do some stuff like bingo, like all this weird shit. And I'm like, man, this is like a senior living center, know, but it was nice for recovery. You know, I've met a lot of good people down there. Yeah. A lot of people are going through different processes in their recovery down there. So there's a lot of people that had cancer that they did lose limbs, or a lot of, the big thing when I was down there, we had a lot of, Syria, injury, I think there's like 8 or 9 people that came in from there from the drone strikes that started out. Yes. Yeah. Holy yeah. God. And then we had a drone strike in, or it wasn't a drone, it was an RC boat, that took out a couple fuelers at one of our ports. And I think it was, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to say, but I think it was like Port Aquiba or something like that. But yeah, it was insane.
Wild.
They're getting inventive with some crazy shit.
Yeah.
I was down there just recovering. Okay. And then during that time, like I got in with Cover 6 Canines. They're a great organization. The leadership's a little, you know, iffy right now. That's kind of why we're doing our own things.
Yeah.
But Bob Fink, no relation to me, but it's just kind of crazy how I met him. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm like his grandson all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
But he's a master trainer. He's had well over, you know, 30 plus years of experience of working dogs with police work and other avenues. And I started shadowing him right away and learning everything I can from him. And then he certified me to be a trainer and all this stuff. And I take a lot of experience from, like, we had a lot of war dogs attached to us. And I say a lot, but maybe like 2 or 3, right?
Yeah,
but just 2 or 3, like they stay there longer than half the people because they do kind of a different rotations. But taking all of that experience in account and like throwing it into something that's crazy, like dog training for like service dogs. I'm like, oh, what the hell is that, man? But then he accepted me in the program and stuff. And I got a dog through like one of the local rescues that we work with, Pink Dog Animal Rescue. His name was Ruger, and he's a Malinois pit bull mix. And he was freaking, he's stellar. He's awesome.
Yeah.
But one thing you do realize, you know, especially being a trainer, is you have to be realistic about your dog, right? And even this dog right here, he's perfect how he looks, right? But there comes a time where if a dog does show certain things or whatever, and Ruger was a rescue, like I had to wash him out. Like a year in of training, and he was great, but the potential that he was reactive, I believe he had like littermate syndrome or something.
Okay.
I got him and he was pretty scarred up and beat up, you know, but for the most part, I just had to wash him out based off of liability. And especially you can't be a trainer and be like, hey, yeah, my dog's a little reactive and keep making excuses for him, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not really a thing that I want to portray, but hey, I'll be realistic. You're done, right?
Yeah.
And then I got Noir, which is the Black Shepherd, and he's freaking awesome. And he was attacked as a puppy, actually at the training center there.
Really?
By another handler's dog. It caused $8,000 worth of damage, yeah.
What?
Yeah, but...
How's that happen?
Well, I mean, so I was I came up to
if
the
you don't
door.
Want me asking,
yeah, I came up to the door, and I was about to go in. I open up the door, and then that person's dog was just literally charging at the door, and then grabbed a hold of a 10-week-old puppy, broke his ulna, and I'm like, he wasn't even my dog. He was a donated dog through the program because the guy he was going to do a board and train with me, he just, hey, I'm out, you know.
Yeah.
And then he bailed, and I was like, okay, well, do you want to donate the dog? And he's like, yeah, okay. I was like, fine.
Okay.
But after $8,000, I'm like, this is my dog now, you
know?
But yeah, it was insane. But that dog is still in the freaking program to this day. So another reason why I'm out.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because I would think at that point, that dog would get washed out. You know, at some point, you got to be like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be realistic, right?
Right. It's not for everybody, and that's no problem.
No, it's a safety thing. I mean, yeah. And you want to, when you take a dog, like that dog, after, let's say, 6 months to even a year of training, that's $15,000. If you really, and that's why we're documenting a lot of this stuff. Because that way we can justify and kind of keep a good track of like everything we're doing here. And that's why $30,000 is usually the typical.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is
that 30, that's typically how much that if you today would want to go buy a dog, you would probably pay $15,000 for it. And then all the additional training to then hit that almost a year and a half to 2 year mark, you're looking at $30,000.
$30,000. So it is a big investment.
It is.
It is a big investment.
Yeah. Right. So when you put other dogs at risk, it's like, that's not worth it.
Yeah. No, it's not for sure. Yeah. And, you know, Noir, speaking of him, I saw on social media, right, some of the posts, seems like such a very, he is, I'm sure, such a relaxed, calm dog. And I think the one video was in the car, and he was doing like a little howl.
Yeah, you know? That was before, that was our first event this year. We
that was so cool, you know. Yeah. I don't know, I just thought the dog was like, Gunner's napping for the listeners that don't know. I think he's napping in Brittany's arms. But I was like, I get to meet Noir. I was kind of excited. I was like, that's not Noir. What happened? But so Noir's good. Just he's at home. He's chilling at home.
Yeah. No, he's just chilling at home. I had him out yesterday. What the heck was it? Just a side note.
Okay. Is this for?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, keep it in. Okay.
We're going to do a line dancing fundraiser. At the PA Dance Hall.
Okay.
Date to be determined, but it'll probably be in November sometime.
Well, let me know, and I can post on social media for sure.
Yeah. It'll be great. And it'll all go towards interceding, but we're going to have resources there that, you know, that vets, first responders can get help, you know, if they happen to be line dancing. Like, sure, cool. Like, come check this out. You know?
Oh, that's awesome.
I forget what we're getting.
Let's take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky, eat, meat, repeat.
But to your point, like, as I mean, before I married my husband, who was in the Army, I didn't know anything about the withdrawal, and like have since, like, and arguably, not that we're talking politics here, like, I'm arguably significantly more liberal than like my husband, who's very conservative Republican.
Yeah.
So I didn't, maybe the stuff I knew was, you know, but hearing it from somebody who had experience, or hearing it, you know, from my husband, and like looking at like what actually happened, I didn't know. And not just like what you figure happened there, but then the impact on, and now like the community that we're hoping to build is like, it's impactful. And I think the information is valuable.
I think
like, as somebody who just,
I
don't get involved. I just like, my life is, you know, with kids and sports and jobs, and like, there's enough going on. I choose not to get involved. My husband actually listens to Sean Ryan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
So I knew the name.
Oh, Sean. I think Battleline podcast.
But you would like Seth Sean Ferozzi, Ryan, though. Man.
That's a good one. A I've listened to a couple of those. Those are good.
Sean Ryan's, but you would like him, though.
Yeah.
He's but, really good.
So having that kind of information as like just like a normal citizen who maybe isn't involved in politics, period.
Yeah.
And or, you know, is because like you said, you can't trust the news.
No.
Right. The news, everybody in every single news channel, you are hearing it from the lens that they chose to report from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I am very cognizant of. But when you hear it from somebody who was there, you can't fucking deny that. It,
right.
Like, no, that person was there. And, you know, movies are the same thing. But even like, you know, like how we handled all the interpreters, like that was big for me. And I was like, these people, like, went against their families and their religion to help us, and we fucking left them to die.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And it's brutal. Like, they were looking out for it. Now, some, I think some, gosh, who's, this guy in Texas, I follow, he's been on social media. But some of the servicemen and women actually, like, went back or were able to get some of those translators out and their families out. And it's like, but the average citizen doesn't know any of this, you know, that we just left them there.
Well, and a lot of people choose to be ignorant, too. Like, that's true. Choose to believe what they see and what they hear as if, like, the news is some, and they treat it as, like, the word of God, which, again, either you're choosing to be ignorant or whatever. And, and that's where I was an English major. So, like, when you write papers, you're writing through a lens of something. You're writing it from a perspective of something. And that's how I choose to view, like, the reporters or even the people who, like, the reporters don't report the news. They report what they were told to report. So it's whomever the powers that be say you are going to report in this way.
Yeah.
So you can't trust, truthfully, you can't trust anything that doesn't come from it. Like, almost like a word of mouth or a story.
Yeah.
And even that's coming from a perspective, but you can't, like, you can feel how you feel about the war, but you still experience these things.
Right.
So.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know. Unless you come with receipts, I find it hard to believe of anything.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, for sure. You know, and, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with Sleepy Joe. It's like, I don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna, like you said, I don't like getting into politics, but, you know, if you're telling the higher-ups, like, hey, there's going to be issues here. We can't just rush this. After 20 years, and then to end like that, you know, to people that actually served, it's kind of got to be devastating. Like, you have these friendships.
We would, all the time, like, no, this is not the right way. Like, this is not what we should do. This is dangerous, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, do it anyway. It's like, all right, well, all it is a command assuming the risk of whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
And when you have the president or you have Austin or Millie, it's like, assume the risk. So then all of a sudden you're leaving people behind, right? All of a sudden you're trying to pull out, and then there's a crowd of people trying to hang on a freaking plane, you know, like just how they do things. And it was just, I mean, it was a shit show, but it could have been more controlled. Like, but of course I think now some people are acknowledging, like, we could have did this, whatever. But
well, hindsight's 20/20, and you can money quarterback all you want, but it doesn't
fix what happened and how it happened.
And the impact on the people that it happened to, or the fact that, and in my opinion, which I can touch on, but one of the reasons why, and I volunteer for a lot of different agencies. I believe very strongly in volunteering and giving back and setting that example for our children. But I do believe that the country as a whole has kind of said, like, well, thank you for your service. Figure it out.
Yeah, which is a shame. A damn shame, you know?
Or, you know, like, the amount of stories that I've heard from, obviously, you know, now being more in the community with my husband, hearing the stories from, like, people trying to get VA benefits. It's damn near impossible.
Yeah.
But
yet, if I saw something, a statistic, there's actually more workers in the VA than there are servicemen and women, I believe, or active servicemen and women. So it's like, okay, we got all these people. Why aren't they providing the services to the people that need them?
VA is like another whole thing, which I'm sure, like Bruce, they're trying to do that survey and stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was trying to, I was telling them like my experience too. And it's like, when I get out, 2 years, I was in a medical top line hospital. Like, Walter Reed is great. They have the NICO, they have the best TBI center over there for traumatic brain injuries. And as soon as I transferred to the VA, my first appointment, they're like, who are you? I'm like, you didn't fucking get all my shit. And yet again, they had some stuff there, whatever, but I was giving them my medication list. I could barely remember
Walter
a lot
Reed
of
is a
shit.
Military hospital, isn't it?
Yes.
Not, right.
Yeah, well,
so
this
would
is the VA. Yeah.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, the connection there is like, you
yeah,
like,
why, aren't they talking?
This
aren't
is
they
some computer system
right.
that
apparently
does this.
They don't talk. It's a different system. I had all
wild.
My hard
that's
copy
wild.
Stuff.
That's wild.
And I gave them a list of medications. I think I was on like 14 different ones at that time, and I was messing up the dosages, like the names of it, like shit that I was never even on before. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just giving you whatever, right?
Yeah, this is what I got. How do you not have that?
They prescribed it. They gave it all to me, and then they called me back. Okay, we have your med list now. I'm like, okay.
We maybe wanted to start with that.
Yeah, start with that. Yeah,
but all my therapies and stuff did not transfer over like I was told.
That's insane. What?
So I had to get like the referrals had to be redone and all this other shit. And
there's clearly a systemic shortfall.
Yeah, but to do it through the VA it's very difficult. Like I was getting acupuncture 2 times a week, chiropractor 2 times a week, like all these other services, and you go to the VA, like, yeah, that's a month out. Yeah, that's 2 months out. My therapies, like, I have a psychiatrist and then a therapist.
Yeah.
And then even another therapist I was seeing for different types of traumas I was trying to fix, right? Exposure therapy and narrative writing. And, okay, we have it in the VA. Great. Yeah, we'll see you every month and a half because that's our availability. I'm like, okay. Like, what? I just went from all of this to regularly talking to feeling better to I'll see you in a month and a half.
That's
like,
wild.
And
that's
without talking to somebody who you had established a therapeutic relationship with and were comfortable with. And like,
Years worth of therapy like went out the window. And try to explain to somebody else is like, it's just re-traumatizing all over again.
Right.
I don't want to talk to somebody new.
I already talked about
you
this.
Have that
like,
history.
I'm done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have the history of somebody. And to start again, it's like, what was that all for? Wow. That could be a whole episode just talking about, you know, the VA and the issues
we have a friend who was in, I don't remember where he was injured, but he was also medically 100%, and he went through all the things, and it was a total train wreck, and then all of a sudden he logged into his bank account one day, and he got retro for the retro 100% pay, like was able to, you know, quit his job that day. Another gentleman we knew, he got hit by a striker during a training exercise, like hit by a striker on duty, and they fought him. And like he had nerve damage. He still has problems walking.
Oh,
like he had nerve damage. It was directly tied. Like this wasn't this like, oh, did you have a concussion? Was that a TBI? Like, oh, we don't have any record of that.
Yeah.
This was it was during training, and the VA fought him, and he had to go back over and over. And I think, I don't know if he ended up getting a lawyer to get 100%, but he had to fight for what he was entitled to.
You have to do the lawyer thing because, I mean, yet again, I was lucky. But then, like, one of the Marines I know, like, the same exact explosion, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is not, he's at, like, 80%. I'm like, dude, you're missing part of your fucking hand. Like, and he's still like, oh, well, it wasn't documented correctly. Well, the Marines, they did things differently than the Army did. I was lucky. I was attached, and then I was taken care of.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky I was taken care of. And Walter Reed, they document everything you can think of, and they link it back to what it's supposed to be.
But why is there such a discrepancy between, you
it
know,
just all depends
branches
on,
or who
took... It just depends on their leadership, and it's all about their commanders. And that's where it all comes down to. Their commander is either rotating out. It's a new person. It's somebody that just came out of college. Let's say as their platoon leader or something. And it's just insane.
It is.
Because they are charged as that officer for that command, whatever. And they have all this responsibility. They have all of this liability that they're assuming.
Which, having experience with the military and then obviously hearing, coming from infrastructure, right?
Mm. Yeah.
If the amount of like procedural, like documentation and things are supposed to be this way every single time, the fact that the discrepancies are the way they are is mind blowing.
Yeah. A lot of times we see those documents are produced after the fact, not even during like supposed to or whatever, but that's how. And I don't say all officers do it, but a lot of times they have to cover their ass somehow. Well, they have good NCOs that are like, hey, we got you, sir. And they'll fucking help them backdate shit, whatever. I mean, everyone's out to protect themselves in, you know, a lot of those cases. What was funny, though, at Walter Reed, guess who I seen there? Because he has colon cancer, I believe. Uh-huh. I seen Lloyd Austin.
No way.
But get this shit, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is a great story. I love this. I'm sitting there about to get on the elevator, and I got my cane, you know, I'm just chilling, and I'm about to walk in the elevator. There's like a Secret Service dude. That's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, this elevator's closed. I'm like, fucking for who? I was like,
really?
This is the only one. I got to walk all the way. I was like, all the way over there just to go to an appointment that I need to get to. And I just stepped on the elevator anyway, and I pressed the button. I was like, what are you going to do? Push me down? Like, nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ride up the elevator.
That's awesome.
And then Lloyd, I forget what floor it was, but there's old fucking Lloyd Austin walking down You know, he just looked butthurt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't want to talk ill of him. But I thought it was hilarious because I'm like, oh, this elevator was for you? I was like, man, well, good thing I hopped on it, you know? Like,
yeah.
But, and then I got off, and then I think I was going to, I think it was the Dizzy Clinic. It was like 8 weeks of that or something like that. But then I was talking to the other, I mean, they were cool guys, but to shut down a whole elevator when it was the bit, I think it was like a Monday. I was like, you got hundreds and hundreds of patients there.
Yeah.
I'm like, just for you, like, get out of
here.
That's
wild.
Like, nobody wants a freaking.
Yeah. Who do you think you are? You're not the president. Knock it off. You know, even then, it's like, these are, oh, anyway, my gosh.
But I've seen him there a couple times. Couple times, but he's never nobody visited anybody.
Yeah,
at Walter Reed for a lot of things. Like it was like, especially like even the drone strikes, even like me and the other three dudes. Like nobody visited nothing. It was like purely like commanders, sergeant majors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember like there's this little cat, and I had it like a postcard. I don't even know who sent it to me, but it's like the little cat says like hang in there.
Yeah,
you know. And I was just sitting there in the one, like, I guess medical bed or whatever, and freaking, I had that cat or whatever on my, like, on my kit or whatever, and I don't even know who it was. It was just some random, like, sergeant major and, like, a chaplain or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, well, you know, we found this, and we want to give you some motivation, you know. And there's a little cat that says, hang in there, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, all right.
I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
But wow.
It's all good.
No, yeah. Thank you. I mean, seriously, thank you for sharing everything.
So I was kind of all random.
What point, you know, does Frontline Companions, what point do you meet Brittany? Let's kind of pick up there. Yeah, let's go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I met Kevin through Pink Dog Animal Rescue.
Okay.
Dan and Angie. They reached out to me and said, hey, because at that time I was like 150 hours I was devoting a month to like cover six, and I was like, hey, we need some trainers. We need to train some people. And then they reached out to me and they're like, hey, there's a guy named Kevin, reach out to him. I was like, all right, sure. I don't know who the hell this guy is, whatever. And called him. Kevin came out to one of our dog certifications. He's seen the process and he's like, hey, I want to do this. Cause at that time he was training, well, he still trains, but, he had two GSPs that he was training, and he showed me some of the stuff they were doing. I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome, right? So then they got into the program, and then he wanted to train to become a trainer. And then that's kind of what led me to meet Britt. And then Kevin just training to be a trainer and kind of led me to pull out of Cover 6 at some point because of that incident. I told Kevin, I was like, hey, we need a treasurer for Cover 6.
Perfect. Somebody knows numbers.
We definitely need a good, strong treasurer to manage the books, like to get the taxes prepared and all that stuff, right? And I'm just a trainer. I'm just there, right?
Right.
But hey, I want everyone to be successful, and I still want them to be. Kevin's like, hey, you know, Britt is very good at finances. She does it on a couple other boards and other nonprofits. And then we're like, oh, cool, let's get you in. You know, ended up voting her in as the treasurer. And then right away, like, hey, we're on a spending freeze. We're on this. And I was like, man, this girl's tough. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was all for good, for very good measure, because we definitely needed to see where our finances were, because at that time there was a shift in leadership. That was another big reason too. The one president there that was there for like 7 years just needed to take a break, and then somebody else hopped in type of scenario. So we wanted to restructure in a good way, and she was it. And then at some point, I'd say maybe like a month or two, like all of our good ideas and everything like that to try to help things efficient, right? Mm-hmm. Based off of her experience, it just wasn't vibing. We're like, you know what? I'll take my experience. You have yours. We have Kevin that's training me to become a trainer. Let's just do our own thing. And then between the name and the logo, like we just jammed it out, you know? And we're definitely... We want to be, we are faith-based. You know, I've been leaning into my faith more than anything. I still want to be baptized and really dive into that. But then, you know, they're very faith-based as well. So we're like, you know, let's just continue that. Let's just do that, right?
Yeah.
So that's what led us to that. But we train first responders and veterans free of charge. They could bring their current dog. which we'll go over an evaluation. Preferably, their dog is less than 5 years old is ideal. Any older, that's a lot more bad habits to try to get out. And then if you're investing 2 years, usually if you have a bigger breed dog, well, they only have like to 9 or 10 anyway.
Right.
So it's all about time investment at that
point. Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, but sometimes old dogs are great, you know.
Are they? Yeah.
So, yeah. So I mean, I'm not gonna discount them. Yeah, I'm not gonna discount them.
But they just don't last as long.
Yeah. They die, which is sad. But but we, you know, everyone dies. So
Which I do love the logo, by the way. It's phenomenal. Yeah. And thank you for both of these patches for the listeners. There'll be photos up on Facebook and Instagram, American Grown Podcast. But so you break away, start your own Frontline Companions. Brittany's in charge of finances. She says, hey, we're cutting back here. You know, we got to save up. So then you start this organization. How has it been going since? Like, how are things going? You know, take us through a little bit about, like, you know, what you do and everything.
Well, I needed a strong support, right? So Brittany, you know, we kind of decide, we're like, okay, well, who's going to be the president, right? Who's going to be VP, true. Right? You have to establish those things. And I didn't want to be really a figurehead of anything, but initially, hey, you want the nonprofit to outlive us, right? So you got to step up somewhere. But because I do have a lot of the natural connections already, just made more sense for me to be the president. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I will not be the president, right? It'll be somebody else in the future, because that's what I want. Like, I want to just do training. That's it, right?
That's what you like to do. Yep. You're good at it.
And then we want to establish into another county instead of York County. Now we're going to serve as York County, Cumberland County, and Adams County, and those would be our primary things. And then we have this dog that's out of state in New York. So cool. If we can establish that, then now we're really touching a lot of people.
Yeah.
But her as the VP is very crucial to what we have, because she is really good in finance and things like that. But we're still looking for somebody to take off that financial burden from her and then us kind of be like that guidance piece. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we're still very young in the process. We're not even a year into our nonprofit.
Okay.
So it is very, very fresh. But we have a lot of good traction. We had our first event of the year was in May. We did a big golf outing, and we had a ton of support there. Like, I think we got, was it $5,000?
More than they'd ever had.
Yeah. So hopefully we keep building on that, but that's the only thing we've gotten so far, but it's great because our goal is to, granted, we only did that one event. We've done more events, but we don't look for money. Like, we're looking to build connections, right? Mm-hmm. And really just talk with people, establish some good resources. That way we can interchange what we're doing. And that's where interceding came in and all this other stuff. I'm like, hey, I don't need, like, I'll help you do anything. Like, I don't need to make money. Like, but granted, we do need a facility, you know, once we get to a point of like that 30 to 60 handler threshold, like, well, we could do stuff all day outside with our handlers, but when it comes to the winter, like, we have nowhere to go.
Right.
You know,
especially up here in PA, right?
Yeah,
it's a little cold,
so,
you know?
So we're still looking for land lease, something like that, that involves the ability where we can apply for a grant to put a building on there or use a current building and renovate it, you know, whatever, like whatever drug deal per se, the best way, right?
I know what you mean.
That way we can continue servicing our veterans and first responders and our dogs, like, and that, that realm of first responders is pretty broad, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have 911 dispatchers, you have nurses, you have all this realm that if your listeners out there, like, if they don't realize, they could possibly qualify for this. So our website is currently under construction. We're hoping to have it done by now, but they're still, like, we want to get pictures and things like that up. Yeah. But, like, our Facebook is still good, which I'm sure that you would share. So between our Facebook and stuff, we're going to have the ability that you can just apply, whether you want to volunteer, intern, whatever you want to do. That way, if you wanted to get involved, like, I mean, we'll 100%, like, we'll accept that, right?
Yeah,
Just because we want like-minded individuals.
That's what it's all about, right? It's finding your people, you know, finding people that think the way you do or you know, they want to better the community and better the servicemen and women and the first responders, you know. And like you said, a lot of people think, you know, first responders, firefighters and police officers, but you have those dispatch, you know, you have the nurses, the doctors, you know, the EMS and you know, those kind of people that show up, and it's like, they see some stuff too, you know.
People forget, you know, that they experience a lot of traumas. And yet again, I think the biggest thing, I think me and Bray were talking about, like the trauma of being a spouse to a veteran is huge. Especially dealing with PTSD, having like,
and there aren't resources for that. And I, you know, and I think that's where, you know, like Devin said, we, you know, when we branched out, it was with the, you hear groaning, that's Gunnar sleeping in my lap. Sleeping,
that's her groaning.
you know, we, between Devin, Kevin and I, we wanted it to be more about the handler, the team and the handler support system. So this wasn't just a, we're providing the training, you come to training, you got an hour of training a week, and then you're kind of on your own. We really wanted to focus on the support system as a whole, so developing that kind of community, the connections to be able to support the veteran with you know, the veteran isn't just, you know, the dog and the dog training, but it's also, you know, providing resources, whether it be therapeutic resources, resources for things like food pantries for, you know, times that are hard, you know, could be support groups where, like Devin said, you know, spouses and families and how to help support your veteran. And those are, you know, maybe there are places that exist, but, you know, just having another community. And as Devin mentioned, you know, the faith aspect of it, that's any kind of faith. It's any kind of, you know, just belief in the higher power, belief that, you know, you are not alone. And that can just be faith in your people and faith in your community and faith in that there are people here supporting you. So that was kind of why I think, while there were other obviously aspects of, you know, the previous organization, I think we just wanted to do more. We wanted to be bigger. And, you know, this puppy is, well, kind of fell in our laps a bit, you know, is going to be able to support a family that we do know, and a Marine that has struggled since he came home, and help support his family and, you know, his wife and his kids and enable him to be there for them. Right. So it's a project that we are super excited about. And we have donated, like, you know, I know Devin said, you know, it's not about the money and, you know, there will be a facility at some point. But, you know, we've put a lot of time and energy into him and the concept as a whole. And, you know, some of the funds that we did receive from that, that fundraiser, you know, we want to set up scholarships for, you know, like, again, you know, work with veterinary offices to, you know, vet bills can be expensive.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, you have a dog and you need this dog, but you can't afford to support its health and you can't afford the grooming even. You know, mm-hmm. if you have a long haired dog like Noir is, or our golden retrievers, those dogs need groomed a good bit. And,
yeah.
If you have a disability, maybe that doesn't allow you to trim their nails or brush them or care for them in a way, you know, that they require hygienically, we want to set up, you know, that's one of our goals, is to set up scholarship programs to be able to support those things. I could
touch on that too.
Please.
So like essentially just like a snapshot, at least what I would see is you apply as a handler, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason you are having problems financially, X, Y, and Z, right? Well, we're not going to give you a dog or help train your dog until you are in the best spot possible to then become part of the program, right? It's almost like, maybe it's like crazy to compare it, but it's like an AA meeting in a way. Like, hey, you're not here because the court forced you to, but you want to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to provide all the resources to get you to that point of, hey, welcome to the program, right? Or even during the program, oh, you're having all these stuff, guess what? We have this list of resources, which that's why I love interceding so much, because they're compiling all this stuff. I'm compiling all this stuff. And before we know it, like, if that person has a crazy, unique problem, oh, they need a financial counselor, they need a budget, they need all this stuff done. Oh, hey, here you go. Here's a service right here.
Yeah.
They'll help you out. They'll help you. Okay, cool. Now you're good. All right. Now you can get a dog. Now you can dedicate your time. Because the biggest thing with a dog, they feel your emotion. They feel everything possible, right? So when you're frustrated, And you have to put time into the dog, right? Especially training. So the moment that they feel that and you're like, nah, I'm not going to train today. Before you know it, it just snowballs. And then you're a month, 2 months without training. You're like, I really should have showed up the other day. I should have did this, should have did that. Well, now your dog picks up bad habits. Now your dog's doing stuff that never you usually did. Well, you're just, and then it's frustrating on our end. Mm-hmm. It's like we're trying to give you these opportunities, give you the time or put the time into a dog, let's say 15 grand worth, right?
Right, right.
It's of time and energy. And it's like, now you're just, now you have a pet. Like, you know what I mean?
It defeats the purpose of what you're trying to accomplish.
It is. You know? So it's, we're very strict with it, but in a good way. Like, we want to make sure you're in your best place possible.
Right.
Your family supports it 100%, you know, because that's a big thing too. Like, well, mom lets me do this. Dad lets me do this. Like, your dog is always going to, they're going to go with the easiest route. Like, who's nicer all the time? Who gives me extra treats at the table? You know, oh, it's your little kid, you know, whatever, right? But it's like, no, you can't do that. All of a sudden you go out to a restaurant and a gala, the whatever you could think of, your dog needs to be on top of it. But providing all those other resources is something that I have not seen in the previous organizations I've been in. It's like, hey, you applied, you don't meet it, goodbye.
Wow.
Like, we don't call you back, whatever. And I'm like, huh, so what about that veteran? Oh, then they get thrown on a wait list somewhere else that maybe they'll get to it, right?
Right.
But it's like, you don't provide anything extra beyond that. Now, granted, it's you have to have those resources available as far as you got to put the time in. But, I mean, that's what we want to do.
But if we can alleviate some of the stress that comes naturally from being a veteran, you know, if we can alleviate some of that or support finding some of those answers, I mean, I think a lot of times with everybody, but you know, if you have disability, mental illness, trauma, you're really wrapped up in it, and it's really hard to pull yourself out of it. You know, you figure I have to pull myself out of it. Then I have to find the resources. Then I have to motivate myself to go to these things or to contact these people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a certain amount of like, you got to swallow. And I'm generalizing a little bit here, but especially if you were a man, there's a lot of pride you got to swallow. There's a lot of like talking about things is difficult, admitting things is difficult. And again, I know I'm generalizing, but that I think is human nature. Mm-hmm. You know, that like, Devin said, you know, to AA, the first step is admitting that you have a problem.
Yeah, 100%.
So
you have to be realistic with yourself.
And you do have to own where you're at and meet yourself where you're at with grace. And I think that, you know, in our mission statement is compassion. And that is what we want to show to people, veterans, first responders. I mean, they are human after all. And as are we. And you know, if we can meet them where they are with grace and compassion, then, you know, I think they have a better chance to be successful in, I mean, just living their life.
Yeah. It's, like you said, meeting veterans and service members, first responders, where they're at, because I think as a man, I know I won't admit when I need help, you know? So if these veterans are saying, hey, I need help, or I want a companion, I want someone to watch my six, you know, that says a lot. And then to just be like, well, you didn't make the cut, sorry, go apply somewhere else. You kind of just letting them hanging, you know? Mm-hmm. So the and fact that,
when will they ask next time?
Right.
Or they won't ask next time, you
know, and it'll be too late.
Right. And we know, you know, I don't have the numbers, but I know that the statistics for, you know, veteran suicides are, I mean, whether accidental or, you know, or accidental deaths, intentional substance abuse, I mean, the statistics are there and the numbers are high. And if, you know, I mean, but if you asked for help and no one was there, why would you ask again?
Yeah, right. It could be the one shot. So the fact that you're offering more than just a service, you know, dog to them, it's like, okay, we can help you with finances. We can get you the training. We can, you know, give you more and be there, you know, because it is a community. You know, it takes a community, or they always say it takes a village, you know, but to have somebody that you can rely on, and even if, you know, frontline companions can help, you could say, okay, here's interceding, or here's this organization. We're all one community. Let's work together, you know, get your household, get you on the same page. And then when you're ready, come see us and we can get you a companion. You know, we can get you a pup. I think that's what it's all about, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're reaching out for help, you need help. And like you said, it could be the one time that someone does and you want to be there for them.
Yeah. And that's the essence on like companions, right?
Please, yeah.
Like the way I seen it initially when we did it, it's like, cool, there's a guy with a dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's very traditional, but it can mean a lot of things. That companion could be another like-minded individual, right? It could be horse therapy. Could be all these other therapies that do exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I met at the Jubilee Day or whatever up in Carlisle. Like, it was a huge thing. I got all these cards from all these people. Like, one organization, vet organization, does, like, ice skating, you know?
Wow,
like,
yeah.
Like, for vets and stuff. I'm like, you know, I wish I knew their name or I would give them a little shout-out. But I was like, man, that's freaking awesome. Like, go ice skate. You know, like, all these little things of just little therapies, like, that could just be mean a lot to people, right?
Yeah.
Like interceding, you know, do the line dancing thing. It's like, cool. Line dancing is a lot of therapy for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't dance at all. I'm telling you, but I'm trying to do something. I treat it like a damn Zumba class. Like,
right.
I'm sweating my ass off. I'm dying.
I know what you mean.
You know, yeah.
I know what you mean.
Putting
endorphins,
but
you're
having fun. You know, yeah, having fun doing it, and you know, you're around people that you can communicate
but,
with.
Like in the very beginning, like we're gonna start out at cool dogs, real simple, right?
Yeah.
We're boarding a dog. We're board and train a dog to a veteran, and then once we get a facility, start bringing a bunch of handlers in. Cool. Then, okay, cool. Now, hey, horses, therapy, like all this stuff that we can 100% support, because like, why not, right?
Right.
It
opens up, yeah.
It has been cool starting from the ground up, though. I think, and especially doing it, like, you know, giving, you know, our kids were involved in the puppies and...
Yeah.
The, you know, now that, you know, the puppy gets to come back to our house and they get to see, like, the puppy training and, you know, they get to learn the rules of the service dog. And, you know, he's at football practices. My son is starting third grade, so plays contact football. And so he gets to walk the dog around the field and everybody gets to see the dog. And he gets to say, no, you have to do this before you pet the dog. And so it's just, it's carrying on that like-minded and the knowledge on to like the next generation, like we're paying it forward,
yeah.
And hopefully setting up, you know, and even making connections that way, you know, through the kids,
right? Well, it's setting a standard, right? And a protocol of how, you know, to handle service dogs. And that's what I think too, a lot of people be like, oh, they see a puppy, they just want a pet and interact. Yep. It's like, be respectful, you know, always tell my wife, even with our family, you know, it's like, be respectful, ask, you always ask first, you know, you always ask first.
Right.
But I love that Gunner's sleeping, just, he's totally knocked out in Brittany's arms. Oh my gosh. But I did want to reiterate, cause we are kind of coming towards the end here. I got a couple more questions I want to ask and then, we'll wrap it up. But remind us again, where can our listeners connect with you? I know you said the website's still being built, but where can they find you on social media?
Yeah. So Frontline Companions on Facebook, and then Frontline Companions on Instagram. I believe there's like no space for the Instagram part or whatever.
One word.
And then Canine Services by Devin, Facebook, as well as Canine Services by Dev, DEV.
Okay.
That's just where it ends, because I guess maybe it exists somewhere else. I don't know. But usually I post in tandem for a lot of those videos. But yeah, you could find us there. And then we post a lot of stuff. Like I have a Gunner's Journey, trying to document that, post that.
Oh, nice.
So that way you can see and you can upkeep how he's doing in training, which is great. And then how I go through exposing him to several different types of things. And then house manners, dogs, socialization, and then working the odor traps and then things like that. So
yeah,
we are developing a POC. So we're trying to document that. And then because we are going to be doing distance learning, you know, there'll be some resources there too, as far as.
All right, help me out. Hold on, POC.
Proof of concept.
Proof of concept.
I guess that can mean things different places, but still that's what it means in my world.
Okay, yeah, no, that's perfect.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's what you kind of have here. Is this like, so this is proof of the training and everything?
Yeah. There's
two manuals for the listeners.
So listeners, so this is just a three-ring binder that I did. It says Gunner's. It's like an I Love Me book. Like if you're a military dude, like you're gonna know what I Love Me book is. But it's gonna pretty much have all of his documents in there. That's very necessary for if I hand this book over to her and then vice versa, it'll eventually go to the owner.
Okay.
Same thing like a war dog book too. Like that's exactly how their handlers hand it off. Like gives you all the data and the details. So like For example, like I have like a feeding schedule here, you know.
Yeah.
But then it goes into like, cool, when I first had them 9 to 10 weeks, it goes over all the foundational criteria from communication, drive, distractions, durations, distance, mental stability, problem solving, focus, initiative, noise, visual, desensitization, I can't say certain words, adaptability, basic obedience, you know, and then you're just documenting it essentially.
Oh, wow.
And I just did several legs of it. I think probably at leg 6, he'll actually be with his owners. They're going to come at Labor Day area, I believe, to come see him.
Well, that's right around the corner. Or they're going to come see him. They're going to come
see him. They, okay, they have current dogs.
Okay.
So yet again, they did the applications great, but if for some reason the dogs, if I don't feel like they're a good fit, yet again, there's no point in exposing him to a bad situation, right? So then, yet again, I'll do the hard talk and be like, listen, sorry, you know, we'll help you out another way.
Yeah.
But we always have to do what's best for the dog in this case, even though it's hard. It's a hard thing to say to some people. But yeah, so these are just the legs to document it, right? And then they'll get this too. But this goes over my entire program of how I have it written. But I mean, you can see like from here, there's like over 80 different tasks that you can get into. And then just a lot of information on to go kind of go back to. So like, for example, like a pup and like board and train program goal for us is like 10 to 12 weeks. Dogs get fearful, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
So gentle exposure to new environments, basic commands, then you start doing your sit, down, stay, right? Because you want the focus there. You want your dog bonded in a way. But they're going to have to get rebonded with the new owners eventually, right?
Right.
So we're trying to like...
Which is co-fostering is kind of helping with
it,
that.
It is, because it's totally different routines. You know, I have a lot going on at my house. I have 4 dogs. She has a whole 4 dogs as well, plus him. And then I have board and trained dogs too, so they're all different levels, ages. Kids, other people in general, it's really good for him to just get used to that. But eventually he'll be bonded and then it'll be good. But, and then public access. So public access is something that's huge, because you want your dog to be, obviously good in the public. So exposing your dog to the public in the right manner, is really important. You don't want to just take your dog, walk into the pet store, right? That's not the best place to socialize your dog.
Right.
Seems fun, but no. Go to because it is a service dog, you can go to a public place, right? Mm-hmm. But your dog needs to be potty trained before you go, right?
Yeah.
Your dog has to maybe listen to you, walk well with you, right? You don't want to walk in like it's the Wild Wild West, right? So it's like, if you do that, okay, go to Lowe's or Home Depot. Real simple places, Tractor Supply, real simple places. But when your dog can walk and have good manners, hey, go to Kohl's. Go to all the places that you normally would go, because you tailor off the routine of that individual. So if Damien, for example, hey, I go to the grocery store, and then I go to the pharmacy afterwards, and then I go here. Okay, cool. Bam, let's pharmacy, drugstore, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the Legion, this. And before you know it, it's like the dog's so used to a routine. It's like, yeah, it's fine, whatever, right?
Right.
Like, so, I mean, and that's what we're doing. We're sensory overload to a point where he's so like, it's fine, it's whatever, right? Yeah.
And he is very much that way. Like, clearly, he has no problems.
My gosh, yeah. I think he slept for most of this recording, which is wild for most of the episode. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Gunner. And it makes sense. You want to put them in the situations or the scenarios that they are going to have to go, you know, the real world scenario. Yep. So it makes a lot of sense. So before we close out, Brittany, I'd love to get, a little bit of your background.
Well, like Devin said, Kevin, he and Kevin had kind of linked up with the previous organization. They were training. Devin must have mentioned to some extent that, you know, it was kind of like a max exodus on the board and they needed a treasurer. At the time, I was already the treasurer for our HOA. I am a president of our youth association for the kids cheer and football. And I also volunteer for several organizations for inner city Baltimore kids. So I'm a sucker for volunteering. I believe very strongly in volunteering, paying it forward and setting an example for our kids. And also I can't say no. So Kevin was like, hey, you want to be the treasurer? I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. But truthfully, I do enjoy the work. right now I'm in government contracting, but I also am a financial consultant for a nonprofit that I've been with for maybe 11 or 12 years. They do before and after school programs in some of the local districts there, but they just happen to be a nonprofit. So I've been with them for years, and I also have several masters, but one of my masters is in finance. So, I love numbers and spreadsheets, and you know, it's not something I get to do in my everyday job. So I look for places where I can do that. So
you're a nerd.
Yep, 100%.
Nothing wrong with that. We need to mix everybody in the world, you know.
As I say that, I have a goddamn velociraptor on my leg.
There you go.
That's a nerd.
I like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, so yeah. I'm a nerd as well.
True, in true like 2000s fashion.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started with the treasurer position. I also have a strong background in helping small businesses refine their procedures, specifically financial procedures, but just infrastructure in general. And again, because I am a nerd, I love doing that kind of work. So, you know, when we wanted to start this, we wanted to do it. So we did kind of hit the ground running and, you know, working on the paperwork and all of that. So I guess that's what I bring to the table is, you know, like Devin said, you know, we are looking for quality board members to be able to support, you know, our mission. And so I do hope to either drop, you know, the vice presidency or the treasurer type things, to just, you know, free up my own bandwidth. But, I like being busy. I'm a glutton for chaos and I'm good at it.
And I do want to mention too, your next year for your golf tournament, definitely would love to be a part of that in some way to help out or even just golf in it.
Yeah, actually, Monday,
tomorrow
with Randy, he's one of our handlers, as well. Me and him are doing Love of the Veteran.
Okay.
They have a big tournament that they do all the time. This is at Heritage Hills. I think we did it at the Lynx the 1 year, but they do it every year.
I never heard of that. That organization.
Yeah, well that only crazy detail. Yeah, unless we got time. Or
Brief overview.
Yeah, yeah. So
love to have them on.
I'm telling you, they're great. Her name's Christine Waltz. And I'll probably shout out like three names. That's cool.
Yeah.
Just because I work hand in hand with them, and they're great. But Christine Waltz, she's the president of Love of the Veteran, and I mean they just got a pretty big donation recently too from the York Vet Outreach, and they do SGB shots.
Okay.
I can't pronounce it how it is, but it's the ganglia block. I can't say the first word, but it has to do with resetting your fight or flight response. So it's a shot on either side of the neck. I had it done once through Walter Reed, didn't work, and then I had it done through them on either side. So about three different times I've had it. Not saying it's bad or anything, but you have to pair it up with therapy. And I'll probably have it done again at some point to try it. But there's a lot of really good testimonials on that that treatment itself, and it's very very simple and easy to do, but very expensive to do. So yeah, they do that all the time. They raise money for that essentially. Okay. The other one, if you don't mind, I'll just shout out.
Yeah, go for
it. The other one, Heart of the Veteran, they just started up. I helped these next two people set up their stuff, which I enjoy doing because it's so easy to set up a nonprofit. So I mean, I can go into details about that later, but Heart of the Veteran, they do like a food pantry essentially. They have a lot of food. They put you on the list if you're a veteran in the local area or whatever, or even not in the local area. I'm telling you, like, they'll bend over backwards to try to get you food for you and your family.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, was it Growing Hands? Anna Marie. She just did a little video for us. We did the back to school thing.
Yes, social media. Yeah,
She does big school drives, and they do a filled bus, and then they had a whole bus filled with school stuff.
They got 10,000 school supplies donated, and just started her nonprofit last month.
Oh, that's fantastic! Yeah. Just a month.
Yeah, just a month, wow. And she was able to donate 10,000 school supplies to.
That is amazing.
She did York County, and she did some some Hanover schools. It's Growing Hands for Brighter Futures.
Growing Hands for Brighter Futures. Yep.
So
okay.
she was a Baltimore City police officer.
Wow.
And her spouse is still a Baltimore City police officer. So
anyone that's been shouted out in any of the episodes, but you're always welcome. Guests are always welcome to come share their stories. And I, like I said, appreciate you both coming on to share your stories and spending, you know, the Sunday morning with me. Because, you know, I think, again, everyone has a story to tell. Why not share it? If you can make an impact on one person, let alone, you know, hundreds of people, it makes a big difference, you know?
Agreed.
Anything else we wanted to talk about? I know you shouted out the nonprofits. We got Brittany's story.
There is an event coming up. It's at Pincho Park, the 27th of September. Okay. The Veterans Outreach, which is where they have the tiny homes in Harrisburg.
Yes.
We're putting together a camping event, essentially. And then you can come, you be a veteran. It's only open to veterans. That's what they're doing. But between stuff being donated and anything like that, they could just reach out to me on there as well. Or if they are a veteran and want to be part of it, I think it's 120 people can go to that campsite. Really simple stuff, just real simple food, but a lot of like-minded individuals around a fire. It's like, why not, right?
Can't beat it. Yeah.
But we're going to have a lot of resources there too, counseling services, things like that. I mean, because usually people get in their feels when, you know, they're
around the campfire.
Sitting by a campfire.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But there's no alcohol there. It's a dry area. Okay. So, not saying that I won't have like a flask, you know what I mean? But still, like it's, you know, you're going to do what you want, but
nothing better.
But that's the next event that's coming up. And then the line dancing, we don't know a date yet, but I'll let you know that.
Yeah, please.
But yeah, it'd be good.
For the listeners, check out the show notes. Links will be there to Facebook and Instagram for Canine Services by Devin and Frontline Companions. And if this story moved you or you took something from this episode, please share it, leave a review, and subscribe to American Grown Podcast for more incredible stories from the heart of our community. Brittany and Devin, if you're good, I'm going to close it up here.
Yeah, you know, I'll just share a quote that always stuck with me.
Go for it, yeah.
Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And that plays into so much things in life. And if you get into another podcast I listen to, I don't mean to like keep going here, but
yeah.
Ologies, I think it's by Allie Ward, right? Okay. There's a Dora-ology part of the podcast. They talk about pain and how mentally, like, it's all in your freaking head and how you can overcome things. And fear is that natural response. Especially for pain, because it's all about you doubting yourself. So definitely if anybody's out there wants to listen to a good thing like that, that's great. But also, like, just, I would say, just feel more empowered than what you feel like. So, I mean, you guys got this. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Brittany?
Oh, I appreciate you having us and letting us a little spastically, but share our story. You know, support
this child.
Well, not just to support, you know, your veteran and in your community, but just to give back and to support your community at large.
There you go. Shout out to Kevin, Devin, and Brittany. Thank you both for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. Devin and Brittany, founders of Frontline Companions, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients, proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven, laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.